And welcome into the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody's off to a marvelous start of this cold Tuesday morning. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
Well, I just want to apologize in advance for my performance today. It's going to be bad. I might swear. I might fall asleep. I might have to take some more heartburn medicine. I've set a record for heartburn medicine overnight. If anybody out there has any ideas, and also let me know if I'm going to die if I'm ripping my stomach lining by taking 3 Pepcids in 1 hour.
We need your medical advice.
Yeah. On our text line. It's not gout. So there we go.
Yeah, we're gout-free on the program this morning.
Yeah, so get excited.
Get excited about that. We'll take your medical advice for Rex Road at 615-737-1025 on our text line. It's sorely needed, so give it to us. we need as much as we can get.
No free ads, but I guess it would be the opposite of an ad. But, man, like there's a spicy chicken at a certain Chinese food chain that actually is really good, but, I mean, it might be, like, bad. Or it might just be my issues. It might be underlying issues that are just being activated by this. But, like, it's insane, man. I'm going to be awful today.
Not good. Well, hey, we're establishing the rules right now. At least you know heading into the program today.
That's right. You know how
it's going to be.
That's right.
Ian.
Get ready.
Congratulations are in order to you, our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League champion, Ian Safar.
Yes, we are.
Look at him. He's ready to go with that, too.
One and done.
Well done, Ian.
Well, appreciate it. Hey, it's fun. I don't usually win fantasy, so I guess I got lucky this year. But
yeah. I don't usually win, so you guys suck.
No, mostly luck.
Wow.
But, yeah, hey, I picked the week to not play Robbie since he would have outscored me. So that's how it goes in fantasy.
Yep.
Get a little lucky here and there. But, yeah, it's always fun being part of the league, so thanks.
This is definitely the first time this has happened where the three of us, Ian's in first, Rex Road finished second, I finished third. Definitely the first time the three members of the show have been in the top three.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's speaks, well, kind of poorly of the people who got in the league this year. But hey, I also, now that you mention it, here's my championship for the Athletic right here. Too.
There you go.
So we're both champs.
Well, I won this year. So all three of us.
We're all champs.
Champs, baby.
How about it?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. We must be smart. We must be smart.
Not bad.
Well done.
So we'll have the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League again next year, and spots are wide open.
That's right.
No protected spot.
Nobody coming back. Brand new rebuilding year.
Matt kicked Kuharski out, and he was not very good this year. Not very good.
Yeah, we might.
I don't know. I kind of like having a tomato can in the league. Get a free win.
Need one freebie.
Him and Brennan. Keep them in there.
And I remember after the draft, too, Carl. I'm going to destroy you guys.
Yeah.
The pick of the draft, Darren Waller.
Good God, he did do that, didn't he? Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, good he talks stuff. A lot of trash on draft night.
He does. That was the last time we heard from him, I think, in the fantasy league. So, congratulations to Ian Safar.
Well done, Ian.
Very well done.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
We got a lot going on the program today. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel will be with us at 7 o'clock. We'll get into the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl with him and the offseason upcoming for the Tennessee football team, which, by the way, congratulations to Tennessee and Illinois, who will be playing in the Ice Bowl today here in Nashville. Going to be very cold out there, but we'll see how that goes.
We like the Pinstripe Bowl around here.
There will be, yeah. Charles Robinson, normally with us on Thursdays, will be with us today at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit, getting into the Titans and all things NFL with him. So looking forward to that. Joe, a big-time game last night in terms of the result and what this could mean for the playoff picture in the NFC. You know, the Rams stumbling a little bit heading into the playoffs when it comes to the last couple of games. It was a classic game 2 weeks ago between them and the Seahawks. And then last night they lose 27-24 to the Atlanta Falcons. Not a great loss there for the LA Rams, which means when you look at the playoff stuff in the NFC, Rams are now the sixth seed. They were the one seed a couple weeks ago. They're now down to the sixth seed, and Seattle has clinched their spot over them. Now, they got a huge game coming up against the 49ers that will decide that division. So, you know, looking ahead to this weekend, you've got that game coming up. You've got Pittsburgh-Baltimore, obviously. And then I guess the one that fewer people are excited about, Carolina and Tampa Bay also deciding the NFC South. So we got some big games coming up this weekend in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about the Carolina-Tampa Bay game is with Captain Kirk and Atlanta winning last night, if Tampa Bay wins.
You like that?
That's right. If Tampa Bay wins, but Atlanta beats New Orleans, Tampa Bay still doesn't win. So they have to have Atlanta lose yep. along with them winning because a three-way tie, they're screwed. So, but, you know, if we could eliminate – I mean, you know, you want to eliminate people from the college playoff. I mean, why can't we get rid of the NFC South? Are they not the group of five?
Me.
Okay. I mean, I'd like to
– None of those teams need to be in the playoffs.
If we or could, at least host a game.
Who could we
– Definitely don't need to be hosting a game.
Of course, the thing is I'm looking at the rest of the – And I've seen there's no one I'd want to put in either. Like
the Lions.
No. The Lions. I apologize for being too optimistic when I said they'd be 9-8 this year, by the way. I said they missed the playoffs. That was accurate. But 9-8, wrong.
9-8 is still on the table.
Well, yeah.
It's still on the table.
I guess if are the Bears going to sit their people?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, how important is the difference between the two and the three to Chicago?
So the two means playing the Packers.
Yep.
The three means playing the Rams. God. You know what? I think I might sit people. I think I might sit people. Even though the Rams are a very scary 6 seed, but the Packers are a scary 7 seed. I don't know, man. Something about that Packers, even if I'm the Bears, I would not want to try to beat them a third time.
You know I want I mean? It.
Yeah, I know you want it. Yeah. I think if I'm them – I'm going to sit people and be just fine being the three and take on the Rams.
Yeah. And then I forget who Philly has this weekend. Maybe Washington.
I think that's right. Yes.
So.
And, of course, they lose the tiebreaker to the Bears.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Seattle, San Fran. I mean, you know, San Fran could be sitting there with an opportunity to just play in their home stadium all the way through to the end. Still not sure that they have the defense. Now, Fred Warner apparently could get back for the title game if they get there. But, boy, their defense is it's not vintage Niners defense. Their offense, though, is a wagon right
now. I tell you what. I mean, Saturday night, 7 o'clock, Seattle, San Francisco, that'd be fun. I'm looking forward to that, man. That's going to be a fun game. And I would probably give the edge to Seattle because of their defense and how good that defense is. And I know – the Rams put up a ton of points and a ton of yards on them last week, so maybe San Francisco does too. But when that defense is at their highest level, they are pretty darn good. Thank you. Look, I give him credit. Sam Darnold, back-to-back years. They win a lot of games in the regular season with Sam Darnold as your quarterback, and we'll see how it goes come playoff time.
Yeah, and he's one of the big individual storylines is, you know, whether he can step up and prove himself in the biggest moments, starting with this, you know, this one at San Fran. What the heck? What happened in the first meeting, by the way? So Seattle beat them. Is that right? Oh no, they lost. That was all the way. I mean,
week one.
Such a weird, you know, like you have these schedules where you have the week one and week 18.
Yeah,
and then 2 out of 3 weeks. All the way back then, Darnold threw for 150. And the Niners won 17-13 in Seattle. So, I don't see this one could be
a little bit more high scoring.
Yeah, I don't see Darnold throwing for 150 and only scoring 13 points in this one. But yeah, Darnold's one of the big, you know, big individual storylines coming up.
Look, and Purdy, like Brock Purdy, is playing great right now. Like the 3 week run that he's on at the moment is insane, and that game includes the Titans, but. You know, he's only played in 8 games this year. He's thrown 20 touchdown passes. Like, when he's been out there, they are pretty explosive offensively. And like I said, the last 3 games, starting with the Titans game, he threw for 295 and 3 touchdowns, threw for 295 and 5 touchdowns against the Colts, and 303 and 3 touchdowns against the Bears this past weekend. I mean, he's turned the ball over twice during that stretch. He's playing great.
No, he's doing everything well, running around, making plays. He's better than he's. I think he keeps getting better, and I've always thought, you know, he's good. You can win again. That's a guy who I think in the previous years with the Niners, it's like he's a good quarterback. He's not great. He may never be great, but this is here you go. You can win a championship, you can get right there with a team like that and a good quarterback who can just operate an offense like that. But I think now he's becoming more of a difference maker and a guy who, you know, just makes some plays that are special. And that makes them pretty scary. I mean, they went up down the you know, the Bears aren't a great defensive team, but they're not terrible. You know, they've had a pretty – their defense is middling. It's fine. It's solid. And they didn't have Kittle, and they just tore them apart. Yeah.
It looks like Denver is going to get the one seed in the AFC. They've got the tiebreaker at the moment. They're taking on the Chargers this weekend, but Herbert's not going to play. They're sitting down Herbert this weekend. So the Justin Herbert-less Chargers – trying to take down Denver. It is wild. Like, I think New England's going to win this weekend too. They're at home against Miami. You could have a 14-3 Patriots team in Vrabel's first year that does not get the one seed. They have to be the two seed to start the playoffs
because they lost to the Raiders. The Raiders. No, it's wild. And like, does Harbaugh, like, does he hate Vrabel or something? Does Harbaugh have an issue with the Vrabel?
I don't know.
Is that what he's doing here? No, that's too bad. I mean, it's just too bad that game is probably just decided because of that. You know, that would be a good game. So that leaves the Chargers with what? What are they going to have then? I guess they just don't have. Because the thing is, they're battling like with Houston.
Yeah, they're six right now.
I tell you what, the
it could be four it through could six.
Be, I will say, I had forgotten this. The backup quarterback for the Chargers is Trey Lance. That could be interesting, just in terms of that one could be all over the map, especially against that defense. Like, he might make a few plays in the game where it's like, wow, look at that. And he might turn the ball over seven times.
Yeah. Yeah. At least it's kind of fun to just check in on him and see how that looks. But yeah, so it's the 5-7 between Chargers, Houston, and Buffalo.
Yeah.
So you're talking, you know – yeah, but that's the thing. The four is not – it's just not that attractive if it's Baltimore to me. You know, New England, Jacksonville, going on the road either place. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'd probably rather play Jacksonville. So that would be the higher seed would get Jacksonville, whereas the seven's going to get New England.
Yeah.
But it's not that big of a difference.
No, I mean, like right now the seven's Buffalo, and they beat New England a couple weeks ago. So we'll see – What that looks like.
I don't think Vrabel, and I don't think Patriots fans.
I don't think they want
that to be the first game they play.
Probably not.
That's a real one and
probably
done.
Not.
Shot. Real shot at one and done.
615-737-1025. Our phone number 615-737-1025. Off and running on Robbie and Rex. We'll get into the Titans coming up next. How would you approach the offensive line this offseason if you're Mike Borgonzi trying to weave this roster together? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, we have one game remaining in the Titans season, and then it gets into very quickly head coaching search. Got to find a head coach. What's that program going to look like as you move forward here? How are you going to build out your coaching staff? All those things. But there has been a lot of talk about Cam Ward over the last few weeks. And, Joe, I would add to that the offensive line. You know, not that long ago, I'd say 4 or 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, heavy concern on the offensive line. Heavy concern specifically with J.C. Latham at right tackle. It was not going well. It didn't seem like the things were – on the up and up in the room, just in terms of the team and how they responded to some of the things J.C. Latham was doing out there. You had Zeitler not playing well at right guard. You had Cushenberry not playing all that great at center. And it was like, okay, so you got a right tackle that you're not feeling very good about that was a 7th overall pick. You got a center that you spent a lot of money on to bring in here that has not been great. You got a left tackle in Mandor that that door swings wide open every now and then. You never really know what's going to happen out there. And this is your offensive line contractually for the foreseeable future, kind of heading into next year. What are you going to do about it? And to their credit, they have stepped up. They have played better down the final stretch of the season. Now, it wasn't perfect on Sunday against the Saints, and we went through some of the numbers yesterday. You know, there were 8 quarterback hits. I think the Saints got 4 sacks. If you watched it, I thought the protection for the most part was pretty good, and Cam Ward's just kind of buzzing around back there, and he got hit a lot by extending the play. So it is what it is on that front. Overall, I think we would agree. Offensive line has played better down the stretch here. So have they played well enough, Joe, where if you're Mike Borgonzi, you're looking at the offensive line heading into the offseason and you're like, yep, we're good. Maybe I can go find another depth guard to throw in the mix at right guard. You know, Slater, maybe your right guard next year. We'll see what happens on that front. I doubt it's going to be Zeitler, so there's probably at least going to be one change on that offensive line. But how do you feel about the entire state of the offensive line now versus where we did a couple of weeks ago heading into the offseason?
Definitely better. I mean, Latham is going to – I think Latham is at least – he's gotten past the what in the world's going on with this guy stage. I think he's okay. He's fine right now. You need him to be better than that moving forward, but okay, that's right tackle. You're set. You hope that there's definitely, like with a lot of players, like a lot of athletes, you hope that second year off an Achilles is a big difference for Cushenberry, because I don't think you want to mess around and try to deal with that, because like you said, you have to get a right guard. And, you know, Dan Moore is your left tackle next year. It's not great. It's not exciting. I think that, to me, the biggest thing they need to do, because I just don't expect him to draft a tackle high, is they need to try to maybe middle round a tackle, maybe sign someone, if there is someone who's on the young side who could be a swing tackle. They need to bolster the depth there. At some point, and really I guess the some point is probably next offseason, they're probably going to have to – okay, you got to make another shot at getting yourself a franchise left tackle or whatever you want to call it, long-term 10-year left tackle. But I think that you can probably go with this group and address other things this offseason and feel okay about it now. Probably you probably feel worse about Mandor, right? But, like, are you – look, if you middle round a tackle and he beats him out, great, right?
Yep.
But, yeah, you can't count on that. You're expecting him to start next year.
I just can't watch him play without calling him Mandor. I almost forget what his name is from time to time. Oh, yeah, Dan Moore. They'll say Dan Moore on the broadcast. I'm like, who is that? Oh, yeah, Mandor. Okay.
Did you think anybody called him Mandor in Pittsburgh?
I think this is a
we coined this.
This is a Joe Rexroad special is what this is.
It's too perfect.
It is perfect. I mean, it's
– I always think of the guy from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Hodor.
Yeah.
My wife tried to make me watch it.
Yeah. So that's
too much sex. I don't like all the sex, man.
That's what it is.
There's a drop. Sorry.
Well, add it to the list.
What'd you say, Hodor?
That's correct.
Okay.
Leave it alone.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Yeah, it's going to be bad today.
Can he play left tackle?
He's built like one. Maybe more like he might be a bit more like a right tackle, well, if you asked some people.
They said, okay. Body types. I'm watching the broadcast of it, and like Dan Moore down on the play. I'm like, who? Oh, yeah, Mandor. That's right.
Why are they mixing his name up? It's like people still calling him Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
No, it's Mariota. It's Mandor.
Yeah.
I mean, door number two, here's a man. It's a quarterback. Hit him.
I mean, I would assume that you're going to, whether it's in the draft or in free agency, you're going to target a right guard that has the ability to start. We've talked about this with Kuharsky. Like, I know that they're high on Jackson Slater, and maybe Jackson Slater next year steps in after being a fifth-round pick and is ready to go.
That'd
to be your
great.
Starting right guard. That'd be awesome. I don't know that I would plan for that heading into the offseason. Like, who knows? Like, maybe they've watched him behind the scenes, and it's like, yep, that guy's going to be ready to go next year. And if that's the case, great. But it is like I'll take having to go and find potentially a starting right guard, or at least a starting somebody to compete to be a starting right guard, versus what we were talking about a few weeks ago of, man, what if you get to the end of this year and you're looking at Latham and it's just like, man, I don't think he can do it. Like, I don't think he can be the right tackle for this team. What do you do with that? Because when you add that need to everything else they got going on, to me, that's a disaster. So the fact that he's responded since then and has played as well as he has, thank God, because if he didn't, they'd be in a world of hurt right now on the offensive line heading into the offseason.
Yeah, and I still don't know if you feel all that comfortable, but it's definitely better. You got to feel like, okay, you know, this guy, it's a huge year for him next year, huge offseason for him. And he did, again, he did do the, like, the weight loss, the body was transformed. That's a good sign last season. It just wasn't going well this year. A lot of things weren't going well. He got called out, but he seems to have responded. So, you know, if you could somehow have him have a third season like Skoronski's, boy, you'd be feeling pretty good. You'd have a couple, you know, long-term second contract linemen. But I still think he's quite a ways from that.
I would agree. But it is, I think, finally a position group over the last few weeks. I mean, it's been so bad around here on the offensive line. And we've talked about it forever to the point where people have just gotten sick of talking about it. And the thought of them drafting another offensive lineman high, I think, makes people almost violently ill around here. And I understand it. But we've finally gotten to the point over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and it doesn't mean that I'm convinced they've totally figured it out, where you look at it and it's like, yeah, that looks more like maybe what we thought it could be on paper heading into the year. And I didn't know that we were ever going to get there this year. So you're at least feeling good about that heading into the offseason, provided they don't get absolutely torched on Sunday in Jacksonville.
Yeah. Yeah, Jackson. Well,
which, by the way, the last time they saw them was when we were having a lot of these conversations.
Exactly. When they were coming off that game, it's like, boy, by the way, terrible offensive line. So, yeah, it's actually a good test. Again, this is another situation. Like, are the Jags playing their people?
Oh, they'll be playing. They got to win.
Because they're playing their people because they are playing for the division.
Yeah, they still hadn't won the division.
Houston still could win the
division. If they lose, if the Jags lose and Houston beats Indy, Houston will win.
Houston wins the division. Yep. Yeah. So good test for the Titans, for this part of the team in particular, going into the offseason. But, yeah, it's like you feel like they could be a decent offensive line next year, and it's been a long time since that's been the case.
No doubt. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Blaine to the program. Blaine, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Got a few things. First off, I know we're not going to probably draft in the first or second round anybody in the defensive backfield. Who are we targeting in free agency, in your opinion? And secondly, I told you about the Battle of National High School Tournament yesterday. It was unbelievable. D1 commits everywhere. Plaster is there. It was so much fun, and you guys need to come out today. And one more thing, if you're a betting man, I have a Super Bowl matchup that pays 50-1. Texans over 49ers pays 50-1 on FanDuel. So those are my three thoughts for the day. Thank you.
Thank you, Blaine. Appreciate it. Blaine covering all things on the map there.
Okay.
I don't hate those picks, actually.
No.
Texans-Niners, yeah.
Texans-Niners is
They're both very hot right now.
They are. Yeah. Texans defense, that's not bad. So he was asking, targeting specifically for
defensive
DBs, cornerbacks?
I mean, Alante Taylor, free agent coming up this year.
He looked good the other day.
I would assume the Saints are going to find
VFL.
A way to keep him. I mean, I would hope the Saints are probably going to find a way to keep him, but yeah.
Yeah, but maybe.
Technically, he's free agent coming up.
Maybe he'd like to come back to Tennessee.
We'll see.
Anybody else out there good?
I have not looked at the free agent cornerback market yet, but I will look at that.
We will get
Roger McCreary.
We will get there.
He'll be out there.
Good idea.
Big Rog, come on back in.
They could use him.
They could. Yeah, 615-737-1025, our phone number. We will continue the thoughts on the Tennessee Titans, 615-737-1025. I'll come up with some more names for you. See if you want them on the secondary then coming back from break. Joe Rexroad, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game. The number 14 Vanderbilt Commodores taking on number 23 Iowa tomorrow in the ReliaQuest Bowl. Pregame beginning at 9:30 on 94.9 The Fan with kickoff at 11 a.m. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, I'm looking at the list right now on the free agent cornerbacks that are currently scheduled to be free agents this year. Alante Taylor on the list. His projected market value, according to SpotRack, or however you say this website's name. I've heard SpotRack. I've heard SpoTrack. I have no idea how to say this, but I'm going SpotRack.
I don't either, really.
What about SpotTrack?
We'll go SpotTrack. That's what we'll go. His projected market value is about $11 million per year.
Okay. So,
that's just what it says.
Seems high, but that's how it goes.
That's how it goes in the NFL.
Titans, gonna have to pay somebody since you got rid of all your corners.
Chidobe Awuzie on this
hey.
List. Bring him back.
There you go.
Titans are going to have to figure out a way to keep Jalen Armour-Davis if they want to do that, who just suffered an injury this past weekend. So
yeah.
Isn't that good for him?
Didn't look like a good one either.
Not either. Eric Stokes is on the list. Then they got a bunch of old dudes like Darius Slay is out there on the list.
Wow.
Yep. Greg Newsome, potentially a free agent. So there's that.
Now he's going to get paid.
Yep. So
they're going to keep him, right?
I mean, I would assume. I mean, there's a billion guys on this list. I think on the list I'm looking at, there's 76. I would say most of them that are good players that you want probably going to get re-signed by their team. You and if think. Not, they're either old, coming off an injury. Take your pick of that combination. So, look, there will probably be a couple of corners that get free into free agency that the Titans can go target and bring in. I mean, frankly, there's going to have to be because they're going to have to find three starting corners this offseason. Unless they're just going to bring Legarius Sneed back next year, which I don't think is going to happen. So they're going to have to find a way to land three starting cornerbacks some way, somehow, this offseason.
Yeah, I have a feeling that next year we're going to be talking about that aspect of the team. You know, assuming they get more competitive in other areas and can actually be a relevant team in the NFL – That might replace offensive line is the thing we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
And again, we're going to go back to, did you have to get rid of both those young guys this year?
Yep.
Seems a little foolish.
I mean.
Jet secondary is booty.
It's not good. It's not good.
Brownlee's there. I mean, he's not making a big difference right
now. Yeah, but I mean, I think what we've seen, like he can play. He can play. I feel comfortable starting him in an NFL game, you know. And they have nobody right now, I would say that about. So,
no.
Yeah, it's just too much to have to do.
I would assume, that when you make moves like that, like you've got at least somewhat of a roadmap of a plan in your head of how you're going to attack it this offseason if you're Borgonzi. Like, I doubt it's like, well, Brownlee, get him out. McCreary, we'll see you later. And I don't know what we're going to do.
Oh, oops.
I have no idea what's going to go on at corner out here.
Oh, crap. Sorry about that. Ah. Forgot about that.
But, I mean, it might necessitate you taking a corner pretty high that could otherwise be used on, like, an edge rusher, for instance. I mean, they're both important spots. So, I mean, if the corner's a great player, then go get the corner. I have no problem with that. But I'm just saying, like, I would love for the – in a perfect world, if you're asking me right now, I'd love for the first two picks the Titans make this year to be some combination of wide receiver and edge rusher.
Yeah.
But with all they got going on, or I guess for more of a better term, they don't have going on at the cornerback spot right now. I mean, there's some major surgery going to have to be required this offseason.
Yeah, and that may just be like a big board thing. You know, if you got a corner that you like way better than the edge rusher there, you know, do that. But then you're going to get into, I mean, Oladejo, by the way. Wasn't he supposed to play? Wasn't he supposed to come back?
I mean, I guess there's a chance this week. I did love Cam Ward after the game. He was going through, like, the draft picks. He's like, you know, Gunner's getting better. And, you know, DK's out there making plays. Alex making plays. He's like, you know, Vimy hadn't been playing, but he's watching the film. He's getting, like, the the film reps.
Mental reps,
yeah.
Butch Jones.
Like, here we go. We're back at it.
Mental reps. Butch Jones, a Butch Jones special. Butch Jones, bowl-winning coach, by the way.
Yeah.
Just pointing that out for you.
Good for him.
Oh, by the way, they're hiring Vandy's QB coach to be their OC.
Good for them.
How about that?
Maybe they'll have fans at the game next
year.
Yes,
I hope so. Shout out Arkansas
State.
Where are
the fans? Where are they?
Butch.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yes, he is.
Look, he's lasted there longer than I thought.
Yeah, he's fine.
A couple years ago, it looked like he's getting ready to get canned from Arkansas State. So
Got to give that guy time to build his program, brick by brick program.
Joe, in the AFC South, obviously, you've got the Jags coming up this weekend. Jags are in the playoffs. If they take down the Titans, they're going to win the division. Houston, after starting 0-3, is going to make the playoffs. We'll see where they're at, whether it's 5-seed, 7-seed. They sneak up to 3-seed if they win and Jacksonville loses to the Titans this weekend. My question for you is this. As you're evaluating the path forward for the Titans, do any of the teams in the AFC South right now scare you? I mean, forever, right? It was like, okay, if you're the Titans, you're going to have to find a way to get past Andrew Luck and the Colts, right? It's like they've got Andrew Luck. They cannot beat Andrew Luck. I mean, he just totally kicked their butt for years. For, you know, going back deeper than that, it was like, okay, even when the Titans were in, you know, a little bit of their heyday, it's like, well, you have to deal with Peyton Manning out there. I don't think anything like that exists. Like, certainly the quarterback like that does not exist. Like, Trevor Lawrence is not Peyton Manning. C.J. Stroud, as much as people anointed him as a Hall of Famer after his rookie year, he's good. Like, he's not great. Like, he's not some elite, elite player out there. But they're good teams, man, and they're young quarterbacks. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence still, I mean, he's not going anywhere. He's playing good football right now, and he's still like 26 or however old he is. So he's not going anywhere. Do any of these teams scare you moving forward if you're the Tennessee Titans?
Well, the Texans, to me, are the team. I mean, I just – I don't know what's – you know, I don't know where Stroud's going, how much – you know, how much – is there more to hit his ceiling? Is he going to level off? I don't know. But I still would – like, if you gave me the choice of C.J. Stroud or Trevor Lawrence the next 5 years, I'd pick Stroud. And their defense is absolutely – I mean, it is an elite defense. I watched that game the other night at the Chargers. I know the Chargers have some issues and all that, and they've had the injuries up front. But what they did to just completely bottle up Justin Herbert, it was awfully impressive. Their pass rush is insane. They're good at all three levels. So that to me is like if they can go out and get themselves another weapon outside and shore up that offensive line and have a little bit better running game. I mean, I think they're not that far away, I think, from being like a legit top 2-3 team in the AFC. So that's the team to me. And I'm very impressed with what Liam Cohen has done with the Jags. Obviously, their defense is really good this year. Trevor Lawrence has played well. I do remember when Doug Peterson came in, and it was like, oh, now he's figured out Trevor Lawrence, and look at them. And, you know, the Titans kind of handed them the division, and then it started to go the wrong way. I'm withholding judgment and total praise, and like this is going to be great on Cohen. So I just think everything about the Texans is a little bit more advanced and just a little bit better.
It is amazing. Like I think it was Andrew Brandt talking about this, like going back to how the Jags brought Liam Cohen in. Remember he was going through a second interview. And he didn't. He was like, no, I'm good. Thanks. Yeah. Because he didn't want to work with Trent Baalke. And then they fired him. Yeah. He was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll come in, do the interview. Like, it's a kind of amazing how close that was to not happening of him being the coach.
If you'll hire that kid who works the drive-thru at McDonald's down the street, I will come.
The message there was hire anyone except Trent Baalke.
And
I will be your coach.
To be nothing more than him.
I want that guy. Hey. I don't know, man. The dude,
even without Travis Hunter right. making a big impact.
Yeah. I mean, to their credit, I thought when they hired the 7-year-old to be the general manager, and I keep joking about that. He's older than me, so I guess I should shut up.
How old is he actually?
I think he's 35, something like that.
God, that's crazy.
Yeah. And then Cohen, like when Cohen did the Duval stuff to begin that tenure there, I was like, they are screwed. I was like, they have hired
Gooberville
two bozos to come in there and run their franchise. And look, I'll raise my hand. It looks like I'm dead wrong. Like Cohen, clearly pretty good coach. Now, the other thing I would say about that, Joe, is it's Jacksonville, man. And I've seen this before. you know, 2017, they marched their way to the AFC title game somehow with Blake Bortles. And it was like, wow, look at the Jags. And then they were right back to being the Jags the next year. You know, Doug Peterson comes in his first year. The Titans choke away the division. They get in the playoffs. They're getting hammered by the Chargers. And then they turn it around and win that game, win a playoff game. And it's like, wow, Trevor Lawrence looks like he might end up being what everybody thought he would be, a generational player. And then they went through the wilderness the next few years. So you're still going to have to convince me that the Jags have staying power. I have to see it, I think, before I believe it. But there's no doubt that they've done a really good job in year one.
Yeah, and get Hunter in there. And, again, if they make him a corner, I think that defense gets a lot scarier. You know, use him some on offense, fine. But, I mean, he's going to be a good player in the league. So, no, I mean, you have to be impressed. But, yes, I just think the Texans, you know, they had the whole thing with all of a sudden, you know, Slowick gets fired last year. And there's been some real struggles with that offense. But I feel like they're coming out of that. And I think that's the team to watch in this division. But, yeah, Jacksonville, first of all, I think we can still make fun of them. You know, we can still play the Duval, you know, and things like that and have a good time with them. But you have to tip the cap.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing well. I mean, Ian was talking about the Texans.
Duval.
I still can't believe he did that. He was talking about the Texans and Niners being hot. They are. I mean, Jacksonville – right there, they're hot. They're hot heading into the playoffs. We'll see how it goes. Take your thoughts on the AFC South, 615-737-1025. Is there any team looking ahead here for the next couple of years that really scares you if you're a Titans fan in terms of your upward mobility in this division? We'll take your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. 1025 The Game, your home for the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl. That is today. Pregame show starting at 3 o'clock, kickoff at 4:30, Tennessee and Illinois. We'll have Adam Sparks coming up here in just a few minutes, by the way. We'll get into that matchup and some decisions that Tennessee football has to make this offseason. Music City Bowl coverage presented by Pickers Vodka and Beyond the Edge Sports Bar. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Gunner says, Liam Cohen, subject to leave for any job that's a lateral move or definitely a better job. Lane Kiffin, more loyal to jobs than Liam Cohen is. Sounds like a scorned Kentucky fan.
Oh,
Gunner.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, I gotcha. I like this answer from K-Dot in the YouTube chat. The team that scares me is the Titans. They keep crippling themselves with bad trades and drafting. Well, yeah, that is... that is true. I suppose if your team is bad enough, who cares who's good
true.
In the division, because it's not you.
Joey from Bellevue says, if Cam makes a significant leap, then heck no. We'll be competitive in all the games. I think that's where I'm at. No, I mean, look, we all understand right now the gap between Houston, Jacksonville, Indy, and the Titans is significant. Now, the Titans are playing better down the stretch here. I'm very interested to see this Sunday a motivated Jacksonville team that has everything to play for still. How do the Titans handle that on the road? I mean, you got that Milky Pool flowing up there. People be buzzing in the stadium. How do you handle that against a team that not that long ago just totally whipped you? And they've talked about that in the locker room, how that game was kind of a turning point of why you've seen them play some better football. Well, we're going to find out on Sunday because you got another shot at him. So I'm very interested to see what Sunday's game looks like here. Having said that, we all know that they got a ton of work to do from a roster perspective to catch up here. But I guess my point is I have not gotten there with either Houston or Jacksonville yet, and certainly Indy because I have no idea what their quarterback is going to look like moving forward here. You know, I guess if people – we're talking yesterday about Malik Willis coming in there, and he just takes the franchise by storm. Maybe we'll reevaluate. But right now, like, I have no idea who's playing quarterback for the Colts next year, and if it's Daniel Jones, how healthy he's going to be. So I'm excluding them from this discussion right now. But, Houston with their defense, that defense ain't going anywhere. It's going to be a problem. They still are not, like, terrifying to me if I'm a Titans fan. Jacksonville is not terrifying to me if I'm a Titans fan, like we've seen at different times throughout this division's history of mainly the quarterback, right? It's like when you're dealing with Peyton Manning,
the Colts.
That's a pretty darn difficult thing to deal with.
Yeah, Manning and Luck. Yeah, I think that's the only way you're terrified is if it's one of those guys. And I guess that's the good news, is that Trevor Lawrence is going to be there long-term in Jacksonville, and C.J. Stroud is going to be there long-term in Houston, and they're good. But I don't think either of them is going to end up being a superstar. Now, could Cam Ward be as good as those guys? Some fans, Titans fans, would be like, oh, no, that's not good enough. Well, I got news for you. If you get that, you should be happy with it, and he's going to be here a long time.
Yep.
And that's just that's life for all but a handful of franchises in this league in any era. So, but at least you don't have that guy. Maybe Indy finds that guy. Daniel Jones was really good this year, but yeah, you're also not going to be terrified of Daniel Jones.
No.
By the way, 7-1 to where they are now. Where's that collapse rank? Yeah, I mean, it's like 7-1, and people talking about, like, is this the best team in the league?
Yeah. Well, and then you make those trades.
And then you go all in,
yeah,
for a guy who doesn't even play, give up a first. Whew. Hey, all right. Well, Chris Ballard, welcome back. I assume he's fine.
I assume he is.
I will say, just like we've given the flowers that the Jags earned, when it was rolling this year, before he made that trade, it was like, you know, Chris Ballard did put together a pretty good football team here,
yeah,
quietly. Well, it used to be not quietly. It used to be like, well, this guy's a genius. Hey, he did put together a pretty good football team.
He did.
Just can't figure out the QB.
To me, part of this answer moving forward here, what is Trevor Lawrence moving forward? I feel like we've asked this question a lot over the last few years, but it's been so up and down. You know, it was earlier this year where through the first 5-6 weeks of the year, it was like, all right, so Liam Cohen's in there. They've won a couple games. Like, you know, I remember they went on the road in late September and beat San Francisco, and that was when, you know, Cohen and Sala almost fought each other.
I will end you!
I mean, they had some good performances. And then the next week, or 2 weeks later, they got crushed by Seattle, crushed by the Rams. Lawrence kind of struggled in those games. And then even later, like the Houston game in early November, it was like, well, Lawrence picking that game didn't look all that great. And then up until this last Colts game where he threw another pick and didn't throw a touchdown the game, he went on a run where he threw for 229, two touchdowns, 244, two touchdowns, 330, five touchdowns, 279, three touchdowns in a four-week span. Didn't turn the ball over at all during that span. It's like, well, he looks pretty darn good right now. So is that what he's going to be moving forward, or is it just going to be up and down the ladder like it's been with him for the majority of his career?
Yeah, I don't know, but what matters is what's coming up. So that's what's interesting is we get to see him. And, you know, he hasn't had many opportunities in the postseason. So we get to see that. We get to see Stroud in the postseason, and that's what it's about, right? Can those guys, just like we're looking at Darnold, and it's a huge referendum on him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I suspect it's going to be more ups and downs, but maybe he is. Maybe he has hit another level. We're going to find out in January. I think Neil brings up a good point. He's like, what team in the whole AFC is terrifying to you? There's a lot of good teams. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like the top quarterbacks, obviously, in this conference where it looked like, well, you're not getting past those teams. You know, the Ravens might not get in. The Bills are still scary, and maybe this is the Bills' year. But
they didn't look good the other day.
Until it is, you know, we have to wait and see. And, yeah, they couldn't gain a yard basically at home against the Eagles, and then obviously Mahomes and the Chiefs are, I don't know.
Well, Burrow, what's going on with him? I have no idea.
Really, you know, honestly, Neil, my answer to you would probably be the Patriots because Drake May looks like he might be the next guy.
Yeah.
And we know Vrabel's a very good coach, or at least I think most people around here know that. So give that coach a young quarterback who might be a great one. God, I mean, if the Patriots go on another run here, like, it's enough already, you know? It really is.
I agree.
But it might, that might, that might be the team. That probably would be my answer at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know if he's going to be, like, top guy, but he's very good.
He's really good.
He's going to win the MVP, by the way, too, because Stafford just fell off.
I think he is. I think he's going to win the MVP this year. So, you know, does that guarantee success moving forward? No, but I think it does show you how good that guy is. And again, you know, I don't know that there's a team now that Kansas City has been removed from it, and we'll see how they respond in the offseason. I mean, I think there's some surgery that they're going to have to do with their roster. They still do have Mahomes, and they've got Reed. So they're going to be in the conversation moving forward. But now that we've seen them have a season like this, the mystique that they've had of, well, you just assume they're going to figure it out at some point. Well, we've finally seen a year where they didn't. And I think that changes how you look at the AFC too.
Yeah, no doubt. And it turns out to be, when people were saying it, I mean, I didn't really buy it either. But for the most part, with stuff like that, the close win thing, there normally is a regression. Like, it's just, like, things end up evening out. And obviously, they, like, the reality is just there's a lot of things. Like, they just, they have a lot of holes all of a sudden, you know. And I still think that that guy is going to be heard from, and he's going to make more runs and all that stuff. But they've got some work to do to get him back to that point.
We'll have Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel with us coming up next. We'll get into Tennessee. They're in the Music City Bowl today, and they got an interesting offseason coming up as well. We'll get into all that with Sparks coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.